Here I am. Coming up in a moment, Dick Criswell. Dick Criswell's first encounter with the UFO paranormal world was at the age of six. At 17, he listened to Frank Edwards, a news reporter for WTTV in Indianapolis, Indiana, who would focus on UFO paranormal topics and investigations, and that sparked his interest, as I hope we do with this program with many of you, creating what I hope is the next generation of ufologists. With the developing fascination of UFO paranormal research in the Indianapolis area, Mr. Criswell hosted UFO and paranormal meetings in his home. During that time, he met Richard Hoagland, who introduced him to Dr. Michael Wolff. In 1994, Mr. Criswell became a team member on a project with Dr. Wolff called the AlphaCom. In 1997, he hosted a national radio show on the cable news network called Starfire Program. Dick Criswell is now a retired fellow and is dedicating countless hours of his time to research and investigating UFOs and the paranormal. He is currently in talks with fellow enthusiasts and is creating a business plan to begin a national UFO paranormal research facility. In a moment, Dick Criswell. All right, I'm sure you've all been reading in the news or seeing on TV the incredible storm that's going through the Midwest right now. Dick Criswell is apparently right in the middle of it, although I guess he's on the far edge of it right now. It's already passed by, and he's got a telephone that's going to go away if he loses power. Dick, welcome to the program.
Well, hello, Art. Nice to talk to you, and thank you for having me as a guest.
It's great to have you. When did all your interest in the world of UFOs and the paranormal begin?
Actually, it started when I was age six, but at 17, I started investigating and researching the topics of UFOs and paranormal.
How old are you now?
I am almost 60.
Okay, so we're about the same age. You've been doing this all your life then?
Yes, I have.
It'll be very, very interesting to talk to a researcher, especially for the first time, and sort of see what your conclusions are after all these years.
Well, they have changed over the years. I mean, there's nothing that I have encountered that's concrete. It just seems to change.
Well, in what way?
Well, when I think I've got a handle on the whole gamut of the UFO field, it just seems to change on me. It's I have always thought that this UFO enigma would be explained by the United States government, and it hasn't been.
No, certainly not satisfactorily. They've taken a couple of shots at, for example, explaining Roswell, but it seemed more like a comedy.
Oh, yeah, that's...
remember that?
Go ahead.
You remember that?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Very vivid.
Yes, it was high comedy, actually. The little dummies they held up and all the rest of it. All right, well, let's go back a little bit. What's AlphaCom?
AlphaCom was a team that was set up to tell the American people exactly what the government knew, and it basically was to bring forward all the knowledge that they knew about aliens, different craft. And this was all supposed to come forward, and it never did.
Oh, wait just a moment. AlphaCom was an organization formed to get all the knowledge of the American government to the American people. Now, that would imply, was this your organization?
No, it was not my organization. It was Dr. Michael Wolff's organization.
Dr. Wolff, did he have contacts in the government that were ready to sing?
Yes, several.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
And how, what fell apart?
Well, we had Mr. Clinton in office, and what happened was the Monica Lewinsky scandal come up, and they felt that they wouldn't be credible after that.
Yeah, it did kind of take over the headlines for quite a while. There's no question about that. So what happened to the witnesses, the government witnesses that were lined up?
They're still out there. As a matter of fact, there are several witnesses that I'm still in contact with.
Can you name them?
No, I cannot.
Because
Well, they'd be names that you would know, and I had signed an agreement, a secrecy agreement, that I would not reveal certain things.
But I thought the entire basis of AlphaCom was to reveal that knowledge.
Well, it was supposed to come forward, but under my agreement, I was not allowed to divulge names until this came forward.
Huh. And to this very day, you're bound by that agreement.
Oh, you're never let out of that agreement.
All right, let's move to something you can talk about then. And
Okay.
that would be you apparently have had some sort of experience yourself with the Greys. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right. When was that and what was that?
It was in 1953 when I lived in Wheeling, West Virginia.
Okay.
We lived on a farm, and I was playing one day in my yard. We had about 30 acres on this farm, and out of nowhere, I never seen a craft or anything like that, but these two grays appeared. And the grays were about 3 foot tall, 3.5 foot tall, and of course, the typical with the cranium heads and so forth. And the interesting thing, Art, when they would talk to me, they wouldn't move their lips. It was just kind of like if you've ever experienced like a Bose wave system, this was in my head. It was kind of telepathic,
Right.
and it was an experience that I'd never had, and I couldn't get over the fact that they couldn't talk like we did. It was just like a thought that came in my head, and it was just tremendous. I mean,
All
it was
right.
all
What
around me.
did they communicate to you?
They told me things, Art, like, "One day you will be our emissary." They told me certain things like, "We have a universal God." Different things. They told me that there would be circumstances where I would understand clearly, and different things like I would ask them, because I knew that at the age of six that they didn't look like we did. I wanted to know where they lived, and they told me that they came from a star system that I wouldn't understand.
Did they have a craft?
I'd never seen a craft, Art, at that time.
Just the Greys. How many?
There was two. There was two grays.
Was there any physical contact?
No, not that I can recall. They would get within, oh, I'd say maybe 2 foot of me, 2 foot of me, and I just thought they were, nice playmates, because they just kind of were entertaining the way they moved.
So again, your age at 1953 would have been about what?
Six.
Six. Oh, that was the very beginning. Okay. Well, that'd get you interested, all right. And how did w were there many of these encounters or just one?
Over the period of, I'd say about, well, until I was age 17, it would just come and go. I mean, it was kind of a hit and miss type thing. It wasn't a constant ongoing thing, but The other thing that was really interesting about these grays, we lived in a two-story farmhouse, and these grays would come through the walls. And what scared me more than anything is they would just appear. They'd come through the wall just like it was nothing. And they told me that if I understood the concept, I could do the same thing. But all I could do was bruise myself.
Yeah. So you tried a couple of walls.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That did not work.
Did you back up and take a good run at them or just more gingerly approach them?
No, I gingerly approached them, but but it still would put bruises on me.
Yeah. Did they comment on your seeming inability to, go through them?
Yes, they told me. They told me that I didn't understand the concept of going through. I'm trying to think of the word. They didn't use the word mass, but I use it now. But they told me that I didn't understand the concept, and one day I would be able to do that. And I still, to this day, can't do that.
Uh-huh. Did you tell anybody else, your parents, others, about these encounters?
Did not tell my parents until I was about 45 years of age, Art, for the simple
really?
Fact. For the simple fact, my parents did not believe this stuff.
Uh-huh. Oh, well, a lot of people don't, Dick.
Yeah, I know.
A lot of people don't. They're very much in doubt. And while we're on the subject, how sure are you that this really occurred in the real world, that you weren't sleeping, that you weren't having some sort of hallucination or any of the above?
Art, I'm 100% sure that this happened to me.
Okay. Was there any overriding important message or thing they told you that we should know?
One of the things that they told me that has bothered me clear to this day was the fact that we would be going through some troubling times, and they said that I would understand it fully when I become at the age of 50. Well, that's come and went, so, I don't know what to make of that, other than the fact that I think that it might have been this Earth coming changes that I know about.
Coming Earth changes?
Mm-hmm.
Of what kind?
Well, cataclysmic things, kind of like things that you wrote in your book.
You mean climate change?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did they, as they have with many people, many abductees, they've actually shown them pictures of what's coming. Did you get any of that?
I never saw any pictures that they had. They just told me these things. I mean, they never, there was no, and I have abductees that tell me the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Dick, what did you do for a living all your life when you were working?
Yes, I was a machine repairman. Fixed machines and so forth, and I've done that all my life.
What kind of machines?
Production machines.
Okay.
I work for a bearing manufacturer, and we would work on screw machines and various different production things for ball bearings.
Okay, well, that's a very straightforward kind of job, and so you were a working man all your life, and this seems like. I don't know. Seems like an experience that's sort of so far away from what you would expect somebody with your background to have. Any idea why you?
As I look back upon it, Art, I get bits and pieces from my parents now that will discuss certain things that happened to them. They had an experience, but I had to really drag it out of them, and as I've learned in my research, that this kind of runs in families.
And what did your parents say? In other words, were they too visited? Did they have a sighting or an abduction experience or what?
Well, my mother basically will not talk about her experience, but she said it was a very frightening experience. But my father told me about an experience that he had in Wheeling. It probably was in the mid-30s. And he said that this craft came above him and a couple other people, and it blacked out the sky. And he said that what was interesting about it, it actually blacked it out so much that it took streetlights. You couldn't even see the streetlights. So this thing must have really been low. And I said to him, I said, well, how big was this thing? And he says, oh, it had to be a couple miles long. And he said that he kind of forgot about it, kind of like they took his memory away. And it was it was one of those things that he didn't talk about until I really, really pressed him for it.
Mm-hmm. So both your parents had something happen, and obviously you did. And
yes.
From the age of 6 through 17, you had, could you even guess at how many visits?
Art, I've tried to think about that, and I can't really give you a concrete answer on that, but it was several times.
Okay, so only several times. In other words, once a year, perhaps every couple of years, that kind of thing?
It could have been like twice a year, three times a year, something
okay.
like that. And then, then when I became about in my teens, it was more frequent. It was probably like, oh, maybe four or five times a year.
Okay, well, how's your recollection from the teen visits? You would think your recall of those would be much better.
That's really interesting that you asked me that, because it seems like the older I get, the more I remember about this. And, you know, it should be just the opposite. It just seems like I'll remember bits and pieces of little things that really, to me, don't mean anything. And I look for those things in abductees that I interview.
Well, Dick, there are many who say that abductees are given a kind of a screen memory. And it may well be that after a period of time that begins to break down and more of what you experience begins to get through. Do you think that's possible?
Yes, I think that's quite possible.
How would you describe their main motive in visiting you?
I don't really know, other than the fact that when they basically told me that I was going to be an emissary, I guess that's what I am now. I'm speaking for them.
Okay. All right. If you're speaking for them, Dick, what is the main message? That just that Earth changes, catastrophic events are on the way?
Well, that and that they do exist. I mean, I think my life's work basically is explaining to people that they do exist, and this story that some people try to tell that they don't exist is a fairy tale.
Can you describe them in detail physically?
Yes, they were about 3.5 foot tall. They had the wraparound eyes. They had a big head on them. It appeared to me, Art, that if they had wore anything, it was kind of like a tight knit type suit. I did not see any shoes on these people. It was kind of like all one, like the kids that wore the blanket sleepers, you know, that had the feet in them.
Mm-hmm. Were you under the impression, Dick, that they were machines or biological entities?
You know, Art, when I first met them, I thought that they were basically human in nature. But as they would come back, it was more kind of like a robot.
All right, hold it right there, Dick. We'll be right back. From coast to coast and well beyond on occasion, this is Coast to Coast AM. Here I am indeed. We've got a very regular kind of guy on the phone here, Dick Criswell. He's been visited since he was the age of 6 and had a lot of visits between 6 and 17 years of age. And we're sort of rolling over what it seemed to be all about and what they told him and all the usual questions for somebody who's had a visitation or an abduction experience. Back to Dick Criswell in a moment. Once again, Dick Criswell. Dick, your website is canyoustandthetruth.com, right?
That is correct.
I can. What is it?
The truth is that we have been visited for a long, long time. There was a phrase that the X-Files had that said they've been coming here for a long time, and that is the truth.
How long do you know? I mean, do you honestly know the history of visitation to Earth?
Well, let's put it this way. They were coming here in biblical times because there's several references in the Bible that the talk of Ezekiel talks about the fire ring and so forth. Mm-hmm. And I know that they've been coming that long. I have seen documents saying about how long they thought they were coming here.
Okay. You have a question here that says, who is Philip Corso? Well, Dick, I interviewed Philip Corso many, many times. I know who he is. What do you know about him?
Okay. Dr. Wolf had, in our discussions, he told me that one day, and now this was way before Corso came out, he said, one day you will hear about Philip Corso, and he has a fantastic story to tell, and it is all true.
Well, he certainly did. Very fantastic. And I believed him. He had very little to lose. He knew he was toward the end of his life, Dick, and I believed every word of what he had to say. Do you have anything for us beyond that on Philip?
Other than the fact that Dr. Wolf had told me that everything that he had been told by Corso was true, especially mm-hmm. about the Roswell thing. The only thing that he said beyond that is he said most people will not believe the story because they felt like he would not have the clearances to do that. So that's what I know about that story.
Okay. What about the species of aliens that are here on Earth? Do you know, obviously, of the Greys. Do you know of others?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know how many are here?
When I was in the AlphaCom team, I seen documents, and I can talk about that.
You say you cannot talk about
it? No, I say I can talk about that.
Okay.
I saw these documents that showed that they knew of at least 70 different species. That's 70.
Mm-hmm.
I hear a lot of people talking about that they know 17. I believe that story is way low because I knew of about 70, and we're looking about 1994, I think I seen these documents.
Okay, what was the province of these documents? Where were they from, Dick?
When I went to Dr. Wolf's home, I asked him if I could see some documents that would kind of zero in on what aliens look like, where they come from, so forth. He said, I'll take care of that. So when I went there, I opened up this document after he presented it to me, and it showed sketches and some pictures of live and dead aliens.
Sketches and photographs.
Yes.
And where did these documents come from? Do you know? Because there's a lot of stuff floating around out there, buddy.
I understand that. I understand that. I believe that these documents come from the government some way because it had at the top of these documents, it would have like an eyes only type thing, and it was something that that I had looked at when I signed the documents to keep whatever they told me quiet.
You have something here about what do aliens call you?
Yes.
What do you mean by that?
Well, there are two things that the aliens call me. When I was a child, they called me the emissary. And here recently, I come across a gentleman that had no way of knowing me, and he was telling me that these aliens call me the portal. And I said, well, how do you know that these were aliens? And he says, well, they told me things that they had no way of knowing. So that's what I know about.
Okay, if you are the emissary, if you are the portal, then you should have a very strong message for us of some sort from them about us or our future or something. You did say the stuff I wrote about in my book.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the book with Whitley Strieber.
Right.
So at least I assume that's the book you're referring to.
Yes, yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. Can you elaborate beyond what I wrote in the book?
Other than the fact that I believe that the reason the aliens are here now is to work us through some cataclysmic events that are about to happen, and I believe that this is all going to come, come to a head basically in the year 2000, 2012, or that era, and maybe before, because I think that total 2012 is off by 3 to 5 years.
Mm-hmm. You claim that you've been given some objects by UFO researchers, right? What sort of objects?
I was given picture that was of a alien that was a reptoid, and it was one of these pictures art that actually it was a researcher, but this guy was should I say from FEMA. Give me this picture, and it was colored pictures. And I said, well, can I take these to the photomat and have these done? No, you can't do that. You've got to reproduce them some way here. So,
Federal Emergency Management, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Why would he be in possession of photographs of that sort?
He was also a CIA type agent at one time, and then he became a state FEMA director here. Mm-hmm. And he was very interested in the subject, and he knew that I was looking for information.
I see. So he just up and gave these photographs to you, or he said you could not copy them. So in some way, you ended up with a copy. You still have it, or what?
I still have a copy. Yes.
Uh huh. Do you have that up on the web?
No, but we're going to get that up there.
Uh huh. There are two areas. There are UFOs, and then there's the world of paranormal. Do you find the two are connected, or are they separate things? In other words, are UFOs actual craft that have made it here? Heaven knows how, considering the speed of light limitation that we believe we know about. Or are UFOs part of the paranormal world, in your opinion?
I believe they're part of the paranormal world, but I also believe that the UFOs come here by not our scientific explanations. You got to understand, I think that we think in a different level. We're not as advanced as these beings that come in these crafts. I believe they come in like a Stargate type situation or a portal, basically.
Uh-huh.
and they can get in, they can go into these stargates, and they can come out, and it doesn't take them that long. And that, I think that's the problem that most people have. They say, well, you know, it takes so long to get from one planet to the other. Well, you gotta think that maybe we're not thinking about the right scientific thing. It's kind of like a caveman. If we'd give him a DVD player, he wouldn't know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm. So we are to them as the ant would be to us.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Well, with these coming cataclysms that you describe as the main message that they carry, do they plan to intervene, or are they just warning us?
I think there's a warning, and I think that there's also a I think that they're there when this happens to help us in some way, and they're not allowed to get involved in it until this happens.
But at the critical moment, whenever that should happen to be, you're convinced they will intervene.
I'm almost positive that something will happen there, derived by them.
Mm-hmm. You've met Richard Hoagland, I guess, right?
Oh yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I've met him over the phone. I've never met him in person.
I see.
Very interesting guy.
Yes, he is. All right. Well. There's a question here about how many resources you have in your own collection. What do you mean by resources? Photographs, documents, that kind of thing?
Well, books, audios, videos. I have thousands of those in my collection. And
so you've been a collector of UFO materials, video and audio and books and that sort of thing?
Correct.
Okay. I'm trying to get where we're going with this interview, Dick. You've obviously had an experience. Where else are we supposed to go with the interview? What else would you like to talk about?
We can talk about ghost experiences and things like that if you want.
Mm-hmm. You've had ghost experiences at the same time?
Yes, and I find that ghost experiences occur to people that have had UFO experiences. And it just seems like it's more, it happens after a UFO experience or before. And I find that with some of my abductees that they've had some kind of experience with the paranormal.
Mm-hmm. Do you interview a lot of abductees?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a few.
And what causes them to come to you?
They were either referred to me by an individual, or for some reason they just seek me out by word of mouth or whatever in the area.
Mm-hmm. If somebody wants to contact you, Dick, how would they do that?
They can contact me through the website, which is canyoustandthetruth.com. It's Dick at canyoustandthetruth.com. They can also reach me at my cell phone, which is
I don't think I'd, unless you really want to, I don't think I'd give that out on the air, Dick, but that's up to you.
That's quite all right, because it's got a voice box and I can always get back to them.
Go right ahead.
Okay. It is 317 area code 796-7530. And they can reach me that way.
Oh, by all means, give that again. 317-796-7530. 7530. Okay.
Or they can call the 1-800 number.
Oh, you have a 1-800 number.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's connected to the website. It's a 1-800-420-6936.
What is that 800 number for, Dick?
That's to leave a message for me to get back to them if they want to report sightings or they're an abductee or they have some kind of paranormal event.
Mm-hmm. That's got to cost money. How are you funding all of this?
Well, we have some investors that are very interested in the subject, and we have some people doing it because they understand that this needs to be done.
So you're turning yourself into a kind of a reporting facility.
That is correct.
And are you then able to follow up with investigation if you've got something hot?
Yes, yes, we can do that. We can actually go to the site. We have enough on the team that can do that.
Okay, when you say team, what do you mean? You've got yourself and who else?
Well, I have assembled various different people that ghost hunters, people that that do Bigfoot. I've assembled people that are that do the out of body, psychic events, various different things in the paranormal.
I see. How many are on your team, if I might ask?
At the present, there are 12, but there are others in different states that we can call on to do these things in various different states.
Mm-hmm. So you're chasing virtually everything in the paranormal world, from ghosts to, I presume, shadow people, that sort of thing, and then on to UFOs and the occupants of their craft.
That is correct.
Do you have any physical evidence, Dick?
Yes, I do, Art.
I'm listening.
I have metal that came from a crashed UFO.
And what have you determined about this metal?
It has been to 7 different independent labs. The only thing that they said that it has earthly product or anything that we would know on Earth would be silicon. And it's very interesting. It's very light. It was found in Muncie, Indiana after a crash. And it has some healing properties as well.
Okay. Other than the silicon, which is earthly, what unearthly things have you found in it?
Unearthly things?
Well, yes.
Well, that it will do some healing and...
No, I meant material. In other words, it's composed of apparently several different things beyond silicon, right?
Correct.
Like what?
The analysis came back and the only... Like I said, the only thing that they could find that in the
right.
thing was
silicon.
Silicon. And it looks
Wait a minute. You mean it's composed entirely of silicon?
No.
Okay. What I'm trying to get at is, what are the other properties?
It looks like cold fusion. When you look at it under a microscope, it has like little computer chips. It's very interesting.
All right. Well, let's get the information out again on how to contact you, since you volunteered that. Most guests won't do that, but your phone number is area code 317. This is a cell number, right?
Correct.
317-796-7530. Am I correct?
That is correct.
All right. And the 1-800 number, which is a free call for anybody, is 1-800-420-6936. Repeating, 1-800-420-6936. Listen, Dick, I want to thank you for being here tonight. It's been interesting, and obviously you're kind of a common guy who's devoted his life to UFO paranormal research, and so thank you for being here.
Well, thank you very much.
And you have a good night, my friend.
You do the same.
All right. What we're going to do, folks, is we're going to split here at the top of the hour, and when we come back, we're going to do open lines and perhaps... a little more. From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I'm Art Bell, just sort of getting through the night with you. Stay right where you are.